following is a presentation of 65 Toss Power Trap Productions.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this holiday edition of Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider. It's boiled down to this in the final regular season week. The Chiefs must beat San Diego to have a chance to make the playoffs. But the red and gold also need some help. They need an upset victory by Cleveland as they play on the Inner Harbor against Baltimore. And they need help from Jacksonville to upset Houston, who's playing at Reliance Stadium. For San Diego, it's pretty clear. The Chargers win, and they're in. Now, there's a lot of drama in this final regular season week, and there's no better show to get you ready for the drama than Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider. We'll have an exclusive one-on-one visit with offensive coordinator Doug Peterson. The Chiefs have been one of the best red zone offenses all year long, until last week, when they had four penetrations inside the 15 and did not get a touchdown. But Doug will talk about trying to fix that this week against the Chargers and some emerging young players who are not only important this week, but in the years ahead. Plus, we'll go under the helmet with veteran linebacker Joe Mays, who's come back from his preseason injury to contribute not only on scrimmage downs, but on special teams. And he'll talk about trying to contain Phillip Rivers, who's having a good season. Plus, we have a special holiday gift for you. We will travel back in time when the Chiefs won a postseason game on the road against the old Houston Oilers. But let's get you ready for the showdown. Both teams must have it, the Chiefs and Chargers. And our Chiefs reporter, BJ Kissel, gets you ready.
With a win on Sunday, the San Diego Chargers will be in the playoffs. If the Chiefs win on Sunday, they're going to need some outside help as well. But for the Chiefs, it starts with getting that victory over the Chargers on Sunday. In their first meeting, the Chiefs left San Diego with a 23-20 win after a Cairo Santos 48-yard field goal with 21 seconds remaining. Jamal Charles had 95 rushing yards and a touchdown. Dwayne Bowe led the Chiefs with 84 receiving yards. And Alex Smith finished 19 of 28 for 221 yards and one touchdown pass to fullback Anthony Sherman. After that game, the Chiefs won four straight and the Chargers lost two more games in a row. Now the Chargers put themselves in this win-or-go-home situation on Sunday with an overtime victory last week over the San Francisco 49ers, overcoming a 21-point second-half deficit over their California rivals. Phillip Rivers went 33 of 54 for 356 yards with four touchdowns and three interceptions. The Chargers were without two key players in that game against the 49ers, running back Ryan Matthews, who's missed the last couple of games with an ankle injury, and receiver Keenan Allen, who suffered a broken collarbone a couple of weeks ago. Allen leads the team in targets with 121 and receptions with 77. But the Chargers will have veteran tight end Antonio Gates, who has 1,167 yards and 15 touchdowns in 19 career games against the Chiefs. At running back, rookie Brandon Oliver, who had 67 yards on 15 carries in the first meeting, should see plenty of action with or without Matthews available. Here's a few key things to watch for in the game on Sunday. The Chargers rank third in the NFL in third down conversion percentage at 46.6%. Now, Arrowhead Stadium and Chiefs Kingdom should help with that. The Chiefs defense is the best in the NFL inside the red zone, only allowing touchdowns on 39.2% of drives. They're also the only team in the NFL that has not allowed 30 points in a game yet this season. They've also not allowed a 300-yard passer or a completion of 50 yards or more. It'll be up to the offense on Sunday to convert their red zone opportunities for the Chiefs to pick up their ninth win of the season. If they can do that, you might want to start watching the scoreboard, particularly the scores of the Houston and Baltimore games. Hopefully they're behind and the Chiefs can get into the playoffs for the second season in a row. That's something they haven't done in 20 years.
Chiefs Insider is brought to you by Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Sprint, the official wireless service provider of the Chiefs. And by Truman Medical Centers, TMC and the Chiefs, partners for a healthy community. Coming up on Chiefs Insider.
You want to win the game. It's a pride thing. Everybody's competing out there. But if it happens to be the last game, you definitely want to be a win and leave that taste in your mouth that, hey, you can still be one of the best teams in the National Football League.
Welcome back to the show. One of the most encouraging signs over the past 5 to 6 weeks for the Chiefs offense are young players emerging to become impact players. Guys like DeAnthony Thomas made big plays. Same with Travis Kelce all season long. Also, wide receiver Albert Wilson, who's had two of the biggest plays the Chiefs have had all year in two of the last 3 weeks. Offensive coordinator Doug Peterson talks about the young guys, including Wilson, who are important not only this week against San Diego, but in the days, months, and years ahead.
Alex Smith will dial it over the middle. Deep throw caught by Wilson.
Nice.
And he spun down at the 32-yard line. Albert Wilson, the new deep target.
Doug, I'll be talking. There's a lot of reasons to win this game this week. But you've got some young guys now that are starting to emerge. I want to ask you specifically about Albert Wilson and what he's done for you at the third level of your offense.
See, Albert's been a bright spot for our offense here down the stretch. And Alex has a really good feel for him. He kind of knows where he's going to be. And he kind of emerged running our service team stuff against our defense earlier in the year. And then with injury at the receiver position, it propelled him into where he's at now as a starter. And he's a guy that every week seems to show up. And again, we got to keep finding ways to get him the football.
You did a very good job against Pittsburgh. Numbers to boundary.
They give it off to DeAnthony Thomas. Goes left side. Inside the 10-yard line. DeAnthony Thomas, the wide receiver screen.
What about being proficient out there? And can that become a way of life, or is that just opponent-specific?
Sometimes it's opponent-specific, how they want to handle certain formations that we utilize. And we have a quarterback that is very comfortable with that system. DeAnthony, his background, is very comfortable with it. Jason Avant is very comfortable in that area. And Travis Kelce's gotten better with some of our formations where we are being able to stretch the field, you know, not so much vertically, but horizontally now.
When you have a receiver with this type of size and running ability, get him the ball.
You have to have a quarterback, though, that can handle that, and Alex does a nice job with that.
You have been near the top of the red zone offense all season long in the National Football League.
Charles hurdles into the end zone!
Against Pittsburgh, it was not there. When you look back at it, going into the San Diego game, what has to change in the red zone this week?
Well, when you look at Pittsburgh, number one, they're one of the best red zone defenses in the National Football League, and they pride themselves in that, and we have been very good. You know, one thing we've been able to do is score touchdowns, and there's just little detail things that happen in the red zone that become magnified. Things happen faster, lanes are tighter, get the ball vertical, touchdown to check down mentality, and we have to continue to carry that forward and then keep ourselves as one of the top elite, you know, red zone offenses.
Good red zone offense against San Diego. Might have been the difference in the game.
Charles walloped into the end zone.
Touchdown on a sausage screen.
What about San Diego specifically and trying to get after them?
They're playing well right now, you know, defensively. And they got after San Francisco this past weekend. And they're playing well. They're playing good in the red zone. You know, they force you really to run the ball down there, and you have to be patient enough to do that. And again, against a team like San Diego, you have to score touchdowns, because as you know, you give the ball back to Phillip Rivers, he can score, and you know, he did that against San Francisco.
Three things have to happen this week for the Chiefs to make the playoffs. But that being said, in your mind, why is it important to win this game?
Beyond the obvious, number one, if this is our final football game this season, you want to go into the offseason with a positive taste in your mouth. You want to be able to take a step forward. You're still evaluating your players, particularly your younger players. And these are the guys that are going to be the face of the 2015 football team and the Kansas City Chiefs. So they're auditioning still to make a statement.
A gain of 26 yards by the flashy rookie from Oregon.
You want to win the game. It's a pride thing. Everybody's competing out there. But if it happens to be the last game, you definitely want to be a win and leave that taste in your mouth and say you can still be one of the best teams in the National Football League.
Where does the word barbecue come from?
Where did the word barbecue come from?
The term barbecue come from?
Oh, barbecue.
Well, I should know this. Where did the word barbecue originate from?
Well, it's either Kansas City, Texas, or Carolina.
Kansas City.
If you're asking me that question, I would say it originated in Kansas City.
Barbecue. BBQ. God, I have no idea.
If I'm not mistaken, Latin America barbacoa, to smoke meat or to cook meat indirectly. And if you want to get really technical, it started back with the Philippine Islands because they would put the meat on racks above a fire to keep the bugs off the meat. So it goes back way further than Latin America, but I believe Latin America gave it the title barbecue.
God, what if I would have nailed that?
liked it.
When we return on Chiefs Insider.
Give me some of that. Give me some of that.
Let's go. Take care of business out there, baby.
Yes, sir!
They don't play the style of football we play. I promise you. I promise you that.
Welcome back to Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider. There is no substitute in the National Football League when you've got a linebacker that's smart, tough, and physical. The Chiefs picked that up this past offseason with veteran Joe Mays, who was with Andy Reid in Philadelphia, but also spent time in Denver and with the Houston Texans. Mays had an injury earlier this year in the preseason against the Carolina Panthers, but the Chiefs have used him when he's been back on the field, both on scrimmage downs and also on special teams. Mays is big this week, along with his teammates, as San Diego, with an explosive offense, comes to town.
Smart with your block.
The way that I was taught to play, man, is fast and physical. Just go out there, you run around and hit somebody. You know, that was the whole reason why I wanted to start playing the game of football in the first place. You know, to hit somebody and not get in trouble for it. It's a physical game. That's how it's meant to be played.
Threw that dude up on that kickoff, man.
Oh, you saying it?
I just go out there, play the way I was taught to play, and let everything else take its place.
Nah. Give me some of that. Give me some of that.
You know, it's a great locker room here. It's a great group of guys. You know, I was kind of hoping that I have a little more opportunity to play with them, but I couldn't because of my injury and all that stuff. But great coaching staff.
Yes, sir. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, you really look forward to coming to work because you're around a bunch of great people. So I couldn't have asked for anything more.
Oh yeah.
You good?
Oh, I'm good.
Back in the Three Rivers area, it's Heinz Field, the home of the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers, they win today. They are assured of being in the playoffs. The Chiefs need to win this week and next week.
You know, as a defense, what's key for us is always first and foremost stopping the run. You know, we say that each and every week, and, you know, every week it gets more and more important. You know, a lot of teams, they're able to run the ball. They're able to do a couple things now to where they're game planning us.
The Chiefs have the best goal-to-go defense in the NFL, the best red zone defense in the NFL. But Le'Veon Bell's scary. I don't think you can shut him down, but can you slow him down?
Yes, sir.
It's not X's and O's. It's all a mentality. You got to have a physical mentality, and then you have to go out there and run around and back it up.
Slide! Slide!
Le'Veon Bell again, the lone setback. Little handoff on the delay. He's going to run right into Justin Houston.
Hey, good job, Sidney. Good job, Sidney.
It's just that simple. Put it in your head that they're not going to run the ball on you, and then you got to go out there and execute.
They give it off to Le'Veon Bell on the left side on first and 10, and Bell gets hit right at the line of scrimmage.
You got to have 11 guys that commit to doing it, that want to do it, and I think we did a pretty good job of that.
We forced him back inside in a hurry.
Yeah.
Didn't you think?
Yeah.
You know, it's still a couple things that we want to fix here and there, but I think we're on the right path to, you know, definitely stopping the run like we want to and playing like we should. This week, we just have to win. You know, it's just that point blank. You know, we're not really focusing on anything else. We're not focusing on, you know, all the different scenarios that's out there. We don't think about that stuff. You know, football is tough enough to where we just try to go out there and play ball. With Phillip Rivers, it's not really giving him a lot of time. Because if you give him enough time, he'll definitely pick you apart. You know, he's a great quarterback. You know, we're going to need all hands on deck. You know, everybody doing their job. You know, if you got to cover, cover. If we're blitzing him, then we got to make some throws that he don't want to make. And, you know, that's going to be key for us. You know, stopping the run first and then trying to get some pressure on him. We just have to, you know, make sure we come this week and we're ready to play. You know, no doubt about it. Just go out there, put everything out there on the table, and give it all we got.
Well, back in the day, there was another Joe that made an impact for the Kansas City Chiefs. In 1993, in the offseason, when the Chiefs signed free agent Joe Montana, after all those Super Bowl victories and a Hall of Fame career in San Francisco, Chiefs fans were anticipating that Montana would play his best when it mattered the most, in the postseason. After Montana made some key plays, then he turned it over to the defense, who brought some relentless pressure to get the victory on the road.
Moon going deep, and he was drilled. Intercepted.
intercepted by Mincy. Bubbles!
The defense played magnificently that day, has to be said.
Boy, the Chiefs have just thrown up a cement wall.
We came in knowing what they were doing. We game planned them pretty well.
Make it look like three, and on the snap, move forward, see the man on course. If he avoids you, glide it.
You know, there was this huge hoopla with Joe and Marcus on the offense, but in reality, like many of Marty's teams, it was a team that was built on defense.
Derek and Neil were always in the huddle. And the thing used to be, you know, give me 2.5 seconds, I'll get him on his back. You hear the crowd roaring, stop running. It's a done deal.
Pulls out of the pocket, backpedals, here comes the rush. Boots held by Benny Thompson and sacked back at the 27-yard line.
Seven sacks for the Chiefs.
And it all came down to the fourth quarter.
Montana back on the field.
It's the fourth act of the play. Joe Montana, center stage.
And that's why you get Joe Montana.
13-7. This is Cash, and the big tight end is on a rumble.
I really don't think they knew that this old man was going to be able to take that pounding he took and play the way he did.
I think they thought their defense was just going to, you know, overwhelm our offense because of all the pressure they put on us the first time.
Ryan's philosophy, which had worked, was apply pressure on the quarterback.
Untouched. Looked to me like they brought eight that time.
One of the things that distinguishes great quarterbacks in the NFL is that when you try to blitz, when you try to sell out and leave guys open, the great quarterbacks will burn you.
He hurt his left hand and now his left knee. And this gallant 37-year-old warrior looks at him again.
Montana backpedal sets. There's a line drive down the middle into the end zone. Touchdown! J.J. Burton caught the Montana line drive. And the Chiefs have come back to tie.
Nick, they beat the 46. We started this game talking about the blitz 46. He read it perfectly.
Back to pass to Montana. Looks right. Arches a pass into the end zone. A backpedaling, leaping catch. Touchdown! I don't believe what I just saw.
Unbelievable catch.
Super Joe has struck at the Astrodome.
And even though the Oilers' offense comes back, at one point I think it's 21-20, you just felt by that point, Montana's running the show. He's not going to lose this game.
We just started marching down the field.
Montana, close to a first down.
Yeah, I just felt that there wasn't a whole lot that we could do wrong. You know, whatever coach called was going to work.
That's caught by Cash, the 40 breaking tackle.
No timeouts for Houston. They give to Allen. He's got the first down. He's got a touchdown.
We are jumping off the Buffalo, New York. Oh, it's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
It had been so long since this franchise had had any tangible, verifying success in that setting.
Joe Montana, Kansas City, from behind, winning 28-20.
You had the remnants, certainly the owner, Lamar, who's still with us, and Leonard, who was broadcasting with Bill Grigsby. There were always these reminders around of what once was.
This job by the Kansas City Chiefs has been spectacular.
We did that!
Finally, there was some validation that, yep, they'd come back.
Thanks for joining us on this week's show. Well, if I could buy everybody in the Chiefs' kingdom a Jacksonville jersey, I would. Because the Chiefs need Jacksonville to win at Houston. Or maybe a Browns jersey, because Cleveland also has to win at Baltimore. But the Chiefs also need to win this week against the San Diego Chargers to make the playoffs. There's a whole other litany of reasons, even if the Chiefs don't make the postseason, why it's important to beat San Diego this week at home. Hey, thanks for joining us on this holiday edition of Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider.
Chiefs Insider is brought to you by Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Sprint, the official wireless service provider of the Chiefs. And by Truman Medical Centers, TMC and the Chiefs, partners for a healthy community.
trap.